Today on Real Life Radio.
In our culture, we've gotten so far from God that if you start mentioning good news, people think you're talking about the numbers to the lotto. What good news is out there? Did I win a car? No, my friend, the good news is death's got no power over your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
You know, the Apostle Peter, in his letters to the church, urged his fellow Christians to keep on learning and growing in the faith, in spite of their suffering and pain. Unlike today, however, resources were scarce. Still, they persevered, and Christ followers were growing in both strength and numbers. Now, there's no limit of ways to access quality materials on Christian living, including Pastor Jack's website. When you go to jackhibbs.com and click the media icon, you'll find not only Real Life Radio episodes, but Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life basics for Christian growth, and even news updates. There's also specific verse-by-verse studies from books of the Bible, and so much more. So head on over to our website at jackhibbs.com and click on the media tab. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Will Happen to You When You Die? Part 4. Now, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the reality of what it means to live and die as a Christian. You see, when we die, will we live again? It's a question more serious than any other. We all want to know if there's more to life than just cradle to the grave. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that when we die, what happens next goes beyond what we can imagine or think. For the Christ follower, it goes even beyond our experiences in this world and into a world where we'll sit in heavenly places with Jesus and forever be with Him. Now with his message called, What Will Happen When You Die? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, Paul said it, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You think he knew something about that? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Galatians 2:20 and 2:21. Awesome verse, huh? Do I even need to read it? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. Don't think you don't need his grace. For if righteousness comes through the law, if you think you can be good enough, then Christ died in vain. I want you to hear me loud and clear, friend. Jesus did not die in vain. Your megalomaniac view of your self-righteousness lies to you and tells you you don't need a savior. You don't need salvation. Jesus did not die in vain. My friend, your independence from God is in vain. And what will happen to you when you die? How do you, this verse that's in my heart and mind right now, I'm going to give it to you in a second. It just popped in my head. How do you teach on it? How do you explain it? What book can you read to better apply it? I don't know. How is it that God weeps over the death of the wicked? We almost justifiably, at least in this earthly scene, rejoice over the death of the wicked. They had it coming. It's what they deserved. You all agree with me. Don't look at me like I'm shocked. If a pedophile is hung by the neck until dead, I think that's justice. I think that's right. God weeps. I don't weep. When a guy comes out of a bar and he's drunk and carousing and goofing off and cursing God and cheating on his family and he gets broadsided in an accident and slips into eternity, The wife might say, well, he was never a good man. And the kids might say, good riddance. God weeps over the death of the wicked. I'm sorry to tell you, I did not weep when hell opened up its mouth to ingest Osama bin Laden. I did not weep when hell opened its mouth to receive Saddam Hussein. And I should have. My argument, my point is this: God does not want anyone to go to hell. No one. And I don't know that kind of love, except I am very glad he loves me like that. Number five is the need. From beyond our need, the verse 10 goes on to say, for by and his grace toward me was not in vain. Simply put, we don't need to belabor it. It is this: God's grace. Watch, everyone, that he extended to me. He extended, watch. Let's do this. James, whose wife affectionately calls him King James, by the way, I might add. I had to embarrass you in front of all these people. Let's say James had not a penny. And I have this that retails for $14.99. And I just simply say, and by the way, you can't have this. You can. Yes, you can. You can have this. But I knowing something about him that he cannot ever, he'll never have $14.99 in his lifetime. He'll never have that much money. And I just say to you, enjoy that. Be blessed by that and have a great time. He simply holds out his hand and he receives this little pathetic token of an illustration of grace. He didn't buy it. It was given to him. If he wants to insult me, he turns now to me and says, how much do I owe you for that? Then I would say, did you not hear me? It's a gift to you. Oh, no, that's okay. Americans, we're not good at this, receiving gifts. We owe, you know why? So proud we are that we have to outdo the gift. I am so proud that people who know me, and there's people here, you, if we've been out to a restaurant together, you know. Now, after I say this, you're all going to want to go to dinner with me. I have tricks. Now, granted, I want to believe that it's rooted in the fact that I love the people I'm with. That's what I think I'm communicating. But I don't know my wicked heart. That I'll either slip my credit card to the hostess that's seating us in advance and say, make sure I get the bill. Some of my friends have picked up on that and they try to outdo me. So now I call ahead and I say, I'm wearing a black shirt and I want to have the manager see me. It's gotten to be a brutal game. Why? Because pride can't receive anything. I've got to cover it somehow. That's my pride. And God says, I want you with me in heaven forever in eternity. And my son paid the price. And it's free. And we turn to him and we say, well, how much do I have to pay you for that? As though he's some sort of a cosmic prostitute. It cost him the blood of his son. And all of a sudden now, heaven is so close to us. And death is no big deal. Because what God has done, it's of his work. It's of his effort. It's of his cost. And I go free. I sound so old these days now. When you're raising kids, you say, clean this out, do this, do that. And if you're good, you'll get an allowance at the end of the week. That's how you raise your kids. And then you have grandkids. Just stand there and look like you do. Can't understand a word come out of your mouth. Here's 10 bucks. Go get yourself a donut or something. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? And I laugh at myself because God must be like that in some grand way. Just take it, will you? My need is overwhelming. And God says, just take it. And he's given us hints along the way. When I stub my toe, the Lord speaks to me and he says, I'm with you. I know how that feels. Oh God, I got a splinter in my finger. Jesus says, you make it. You'll make it. I know how that goes. And you take it from there and you take it all the way through to that final breath. And Jesus says, I know what that's like. I'm with you. Number six, from beyond achievements. From beyond achievements. Verse 10 continues, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. After I got saved, I put myself fully devoted to the service of God, says Paul. And just when he thought, oh, hypocrite, he's about to boast. I love it. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Oh, Paul, you're killing me here. You're awesome. Well, Nebuchadnezzar said, look at the great kingdom I have built. And God says, what? God goes, what was that? What'd I hear? This kingdom you've built, Nebuchadnezzar? Has God used your life? Is he using your life? It's because God has used your life. Well, you know, the Lord had a lot to work with when he met me. I think Paul would have a word to that. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you. Hello. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number seven. We're on seven, aren't we? Anybody counting? Arguments from beyond us is number seven, and it's from beyond our preferences. What's our taste, our preference, what we like, what we think. And so look at verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. It's an amazing statement. Paul is saying this. It doesn't, church, are you listening? It doesn't matter from whom you heard the gospel. It doesn't matter who preached it to you. If it's me, Paul says, or the other apostles. That's not important. Do you remember how he opened this book? Months ago, years ago, whenever we started this book, he said, some say you're of Paul. Some say you're of Apollos. Some say you're a Baptist. Some say you're Calvary Chapel. Some say you're Lutheran. Some say you're Methodist. Carnal, all of it. Carnal. Wrong. Was the gospel preached to you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead the third day, ascended back into heaven, he's your Lord and Savior, was the gospel preached? And you said, yes, I want that. I believe that and I want that for my life. I want my sins forgiven because I now truly believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, I don't care. And boy, will this hit the internet because there's more sin sniffers and fault finders on the planet than I've ever seen. I've been condemned in the world of the internet because I happened to go to the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., because I heard, I had an hour and a half, and I heard that there was a pro-life gathering. That's all I heard, pro-life gathering. So I show up there to see, I'm for life, I'm for life. My God's for life, I'm for life. And honestly, everybody's for life. If you think about it, I show up there, and I'm looking around, and there's people praying, all kinds of people, dressed all kinds of ways. It was hot. I had a suit on, like a dummy. And there was a Catholic priest there praying. So then I hear from one of my critics, oh, so you're a Catholic now. No, I'm not a Catholic. Listen, this is crazy. Well, I was led to the Lord by, I got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Oh. It's not who you hang out with that saves you or who you don't hang out with who saves you. It's not if you got to receive Christ at a Billy Graham crusade or what, does it mean you're kind of saved if you got saved at a Harvest crusade? They're not as big as Billy Graham crusades. Well, what if you got saved at a little country church over there somewhere? Well, we'll see if you're saved. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I thought about this. For those of you who know me, you know me. For those of you who don't, and I put it in really tiny, tiny print in my notes in case I didn't want to mention it. I did. I'm not kidding. Here's what I wrote to myself. I've been so greatly spoiled in my spiritual experience with Jesus. I got to be led to the Lord by Greg Laurie. I got to be discipled by Chuck Smith. I was taught how to study the Bible by Dr. David Hawking personally. I'm being absolutely blown away by the generosity of Dr. Ed Heinsohn and those at Liberty University. I got ordained at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa by Chuck Smith, and I didn't even know I was getting ordained at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa by Chuck Smith. How does that happen? The ordination certificate arrives in the mail. I have to call them up and say, what is this? I'm not kidding. Those of you who are thinking some big... Oh, no. Pastor Chuck walked up to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Lord, bless what's happening in Chino Hills. We were a home Bible study. And then he got in his car and he drove home. I didn't even know he left the building. His secretary had to tell me, what are you doing? He's gone. Oh, I'm just going home. I didn't even know what was going on. I still don't know what's going on. Does that scare you? What's going to happen next week? I don't know. I don't want to know. My God knows, and if he told me, I wouldn't believe it or it'd freak me out. Listen, don't make a big deal of it. I've been favored by God, but it doesn't matter. If Greg Laurie wouldn't have been faithful that night, Monday night, June 20th, 1977, he would have found a donkey, if necessary, to speak the gospel to me. Believe it. It's not what stripes you have on your robe or how many tassels you've acquired over your career or how many hours you've prayed. Listen, it doesn't matter how many Bible verses you've memorized. Do you personally know Jesus Christ as your risen Lord and Savior? If you do, you're going to heaven. God will not ask for your degree. He's not going to ask for your tassel. He's going to ask, what did you do with my son? My son, when you heard the gospel and the grace of God was extended to you, tell me, what did you do with my son when you were on earth? Tell me, tell the world, tell the universe, tell the angels. What did you do with my son? I want to hear. It's not preference. And it's beyond experience. Verse 11, Paul says, we preach. Can you circle that word? Preaching is one of the stupidest things in the universe. How can you say that? Because it's what I do. I'm qualified to say it's absolutely ridiculous. Did you know, to date, technology still can't replace preaching? Young people, listen to that one. Look, you can go to a concert or you can buy the CD. Which one's better? The concert. Okay, listen. When I travel, I take a picture of my wife. Okay, and if I look while I'm traveling at that picture of my wife, that's one thing and that's the closest thing, right? But when I get home, I don't go walking into the living room and say, honey, I'm home. It was a great trip. And look at the picture and kiss the picture with her standing there. Are you nuts? No, you want the real thing. You want the reality. Not something that's a theoretical experience. Have you met Jesus? Can you say today, my friend, that you have encountered the person of Christ? And how does that happen? Listen, you can hear messages on podcasting and we're grateful. You can watch on TV, you can listen on radio, I'm grateful. But it's no substitute to personally meeting Jesus. And that comes from some way, shape, or form, that life of his being preached to you. It could be your grandma making you a cookie. It could be a stranger on a broadcast, true. But Paul says, still to this hour, it's amazing, we preach Christ. Number 9, verse 11, convincing. From beyond our convincing. The argument is beyond us, and I'm so glad about this. Listen, it's from beyond our convincing. My friend, if I could emotionally stimulate you this morning, if I could bribe you, coerce you into becoming a Christian, you might say, when are you going to end this message? I'll become a Christian, so you'll end the message. It's ending now. We're winding down. Have you been convinced? So convinced that Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about having doubts and I'm not talking about having difficulties in life. When you fly through the doubts and when you fly through the issues, when you come out on the other side, Those of you who are Christians, I want to tell you in advance that when you get on the other side, because I've watched people get to the other side, like you saw in the video clip, Jesus is there. And you don't, listen, you don't have to hope he's there. Oh, my dear friend, listen, you do not have to say, gosh, I hope Jesus meets me on the other side. You don't have to hope that. You don't have to wish that. I know he will be on the other side for you and for me more than I know the lineage and the heritage of my last name. And number 10, from beyond ourselves, which is the greatest for me. You believed. He says in verse 11, you believed. Pisteo, faith. You could put on your margins of your Bible, you exercised faith. It's pretty awesome to realize that the preaching of the gospel has a miraculous effect. In our culture, I'm not knocking it. In the 21st century, pastors, Christians, evangelists are mocked and made fun of. I understand that. It's okay. No problem. You preach what? The good news. The good news? What's the good news? In our culture, we've gotten so far from God that if you start mentioning good news, people think you're talking about the numbers to the lotto. What good news is out there? Did I win a car? No, my friend, the good news is death's got no power over your life. And listen, it's the funniest thing. The very issue of life that every human being struggles with, when you present them the good news, the answer, far too many people, especially those who have not suffered, reject it. They will more easily receive the winning or perceived to be winning lotto numbers than they will John 3:16. And then in our lives, we hurt. Suffering comes, difficulty comes, hardship hits us. And maybe that's going on in some of your lives right now, and you're here today because the Word of God means something more to you now than it did last week or last year. Why? Because you are willing to even come to a church service and listen to an idiot present the Bible, which promises you eternal life. Not me. Thank God, not me. The Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Will Happen to You When You Die, Part 4. We're glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
What if the rapture happened tomorrow? Are you prepared? In Dr. Charles C. Ryrie's enlightening book called What You Need to Know About the Rapture, you'll dive into the profound truths that unravel the mysteries about this pivotal event. This September, Pastor Jack Hibbs invites you to explore this month's featured resource and gain a deeper understanding of the end times. In this insightful book, Dr. Ryrie addresses key questions about the timing, the significance, and the surrounding events of the rapture, offering clear and straightforward explanations that really simplify complex topics. Whether you're a seasoned student of prophecy or just beginning that journey, this book is an invaluable resource.
This book will help clarify the confusion that surrounds the doctrine of the rapture. You know, Jesus taught it, the Bible teaches it, but do you know it? Get a copy for yourself.
What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times We look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.